What's up, bosses? Before we kick off this episode, I want to tell you about our sponsor this week, Indeed.com. Rapid growth for your business doesn't have to come with growing pains. When you have ambitious hiring goals, you need a partner to help you get there. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills, you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. I'm going to tell you even more about all the powerful tools within Indeed during the break in the show. But if you want to get started right now, Indeed is going to help you make every dollar count, because when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in their database matching your job description. Just visit Indeed.com/iLab to start hiring now. That's Indeed.com/iLab. One more time, Indeed.com/ILAB. Terms and conditions apply. Costs per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, let's kick off this episode of Invest Like a Boss.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
What is up, bosses? Episode 252 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. I'm Derek Spartz here in Los Angeles, fresh off a trip to Oktoberfest in Big Bear Lake, California. Johnny, I believe, is over in Greece, kind of sitting on the sidelines for now. What are you doing, Johnny?
I'm not having giant pints of beer like you are, even though that sounds fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. If you've never been to Big Bear Lake, it's pretty cool. It's like 6,000 feet elevation. And obviously, I live at the beach, so it went 0 to 6,000. If you think about it in, I guess, a vertical sense, it's about going a mile up in the air or a little bit higher. And I'm going to tell you, you can really tell the difference. I was a little short of breath a couple of times.
Yeah, absolutely. And was it much colder up there as well?
So we went into this weird heat wave the day before I left. It was 91 at the beach in Fahrenheit, obviously. And when I got up there, it was like 45 during the day, and then at night it got down to like 25.
Wow. So below freezing.
Yep.
And
I woke up and there was ice. There was ice in the parking lot. And I was like, where am I?
It is a cool feeling though. And I actually came to Greece thinking it would be a nice way to extend the summer for me. Today it was super hot. It was 27 Celsius, which is like 85 or 90, sunny. Mm-hmm. I had to turn on the AC for the first time. And I kind of regretted it right away. I thought, you know what? What am I doing? I actually wish I was, you know, somewhere cold, because I'm tired of summer. I want winter to come.
Yeah, honestly, it was really nice. And then the air is just like crisper, and it was a nice little couple day escape. But now back to reality.
Well, back to LA. Could be worse. We could be somewhere where, actually, you know what? LA, California inflation has been pretty high as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, everything just creeps up a little bit. The one thing you notice, obviously, is gas prices. The other thing is coffee. I drink coffee every single day. The place that I go to and get a coffee has raised their prices 3 times now in the last, I'm going to say, like 9 months, because I get the same thing every day. So I know what my total is going to be. And last week, I'm like, did that just creep up again? It went up like another 20 cents. So you can feel it. And if it's stuff you actually notice, like little stuff like that, you know, it's happening all around. But, you know, when there's something consistent like that, I buy all the time and you can see that. If that's happening there, it's got to be happening across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely notice it when it's something that you buy every day. Unfortunately for me, I'm always oblivious because I'm always moving around so much. When I was in Ukraine, that was kind of the one place where I kind of understood what things should cost. But the thing is, with the, you know, the dollar getting stronger and things being just relatively cheap anyways, I never really affected me that much. But the funny thing is, when I follow my Ukrainian friends' Instagrams, their biggest complaint right now isn't that they have no electricity or that they're getting, you know, potentially bombed. It's that the prices of eggs have skyrocketed. And they're like, what is going on?
I actually had someone tell me that the store was like out of eggs, and they've been out of eggs for like 2 or 3 weeks. I haven't noticed it where I go, but I think there's something going on with eggs right now, too.
It's a chicken-spiracy worldwide.
You know what's funny about that, though? You're right. I've seen things are heating up in Ukraine as we're recording this. We're going to try to get this episode out as soon as possible. So I think it'll be coming out in about 2 days after we record this, because it is timely. And it's funny that it always comes down to financial things that are usually the most important to people. You look at elections, no matter what kind of crazy stuff a candidate might be spouting, if they have a better policy on financials or the economy is going really bad, the incumbent is probably going to lose no matter what else is going on in the world.
Yeah. And it's crazy because sometimes it has nothing to do with the actual current politician. Sometimes they inherit it from the previous one's policies. Sometimes it's, you know, they put in a policy that was blocked by the other party, or sometimes it's a worldwide event that they don't really have any direct control over. But if food prices or gas prices are high, they're probably not going to win the election.
Yeah, totally. And we got a huge election coming up here in the U.S. So it'll be really interesting to see how those things shake out. But not to make it a political show, we do have a way to hedge against inflation. And this is a topic that we've wanted to get to for a long time. And it kind of just sat on the back burner, where I was like, oh, we'll get to that episode. And now it's like, OK, we have to do this episode because the fantastic rates that the I-bonds are paying out, 9.62%. is about to expire the day after this episode comes out. So for those of you that actually see the new iLab in your feeds and listen right away, you're going to have to take action if you want to get in on this.
Yeah, and also we've been talking about this for probably months now in the Patreon and in the Boss Lounge. So if you haven't joined, go to investlikeaboss.com, join our Facebook group, or even better, support the show with the private Patreon group, because this is where these deals and investments get discussed, sometimes, weeks or months before we get around to doing an episode about it. But this time we wanted to have on an expert to talk about the matter, because it is a little bit complicated. So we have on Maggie Gomez. She is a certified financial planner. She's had 8 years working experience with places like Charles Schwab, Morgan Stanley, and E-Trade. So I'm excited to have on Money with Maggie.
And another Patreon benefit is you get the opportunity to ask these guys questions before they come on the show, so we can integrate it into the interview and you can get a shout out on the show. So that's exactly what happened in this episode. So Johnny's going to talk to Maggie all about I-bonds. There are some restrictions to them, but I think they're a pretty simple way to kind of hedge against inflation. Johnny, why don't we find out what you guys have to say?
This week's episode of Invest Like a Boss is brought to you by our longest running sponsor and our friends over at Indeed.com. Rapid growth for your business doesn't have to come with growing pains. When you have ambitious hiring goals, you need a partner to help you get there. You need Indeed. And if you're like me and you hate waiting, Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed even lets you do virtual interviews. That means you don't have to leave the site. You can do everything within Indeed. It saves you time. You can message, schedule, and interview top talent all in one place. Indeed makes it easy to connect with your applicants. No need to install anything extra. It works directly from your browser. So join the over 3 million businesses worldwide using Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed's going to make it even even easier to help you grow your business and make every dollar count. Because when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality candidates from resumes in their database that match your job description. If you want to get started right now, just visit Indeed.com/iLab to start hiring. That's Indeed.com/iLab. One more time, Indeed.com/ILAB. Terms and conditions apply. Costs per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Hey, Maggie, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Johnny, thanks so much for having me.
So I think we're all really excited to find out what actually is an I-bond. What does it stand for, and why does the U.S. Treasury even issue these things?
So an I-bond is designed to help you keep up with inflation, and its full name is inflation-linked savings bond, something like that. But their purpose is to help your cash maintain purchasing power over time, because they pay out a rate that helps you to keep up with inflation. So your dollar doesn't decrease as inflation increases. It just stays the same pretty much.
That makes sense. So it's definitely not a way to kind of grow your wealth and get rich, but more of a way to keep up with how inflation's going.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's way better than keeping it in the bank doing nothing, because then you're actually losing money because of inflation. But this allows you to not have that decrease in purchasing power, but you're definitely not going to get wealthy from investing in I-bonds.
Okay, that makes sense. What actually is the interest right now?
So right now, 9.62% is the rate, but that is only until October 28th. So if you want to lock in that rate for the next 6 months, you do need to purchase those by October 28th. I'm not sure if this episode is going to air before then, but that's the current rate.
Okay. So is that the longest you could lock it in? Can I say, you know what, 9.62 sounds pretty good. Let me lock that in for 30 years.
No, you cannot lock it in for 30 years. Unfortunately, you only get to lock it in for 6 months, and then the rate will adjust every 6 months based on the current inflation rate. So that's what keeps it at pace with inflation, because it constantly changes based on the current inflation rate.
So what if after 6 months, you know, you don't like the new rate, and is that something that you can sell, or are you locked in for a certain period of time?
You're locked in for 12 months, but you do lose the last 3 months of interest if you do sell before 5 years. So you're locked in for 12 months, but you lose 3 months worth of interest if you sell before owning it for 5 years.
Okay. So it's definitely more of a long-term hold, but it is nice that you can get out with, you know, not a huge penalty. So what do you think the next rate is going to be after October 28th? Because I think this will come out just after this. Do you think it'll be higher than 9.62 or lower?
It's going to be lower. It's expected to be 6.48% starting in November.
Oh, wow. That is a huge cut there. I mean, it's still a fantastic rate compared to what you get at a bank. But why is it so different?
Well, inflation has gone down, so that's what it's based on. And I don't expect these rates to stay around this high amount that they are for a long period of time, but we do have this short window of capturing this higher rate. So it's a great opportunity for cash that you just don't plan on spending in 12 months, that you don't want to risk in the stock market, and you want a little bit extra return. Even at 6.48%, it's the highest rate you're going to get on any guaranteed investment. Basically guaranteed. So it's still a great opportunity.
Yeah, that makes sense, because this is issued directly by the US government. So unless, you know, somehow the entire United States falls apart, which probably won't happen in the next 12 months, it's guaranteed.
Yes, yes. It's as crazy as the economy and everything seems to be, they still have the ability to print money. So that's what gives them the ability to make sure that they pay those obligations.
That makes sense. And is there a limit of how much you could buy if somebody wanted to put all their money in? Is that possible?
It's not, unless their money is capped at 10,000. So 10,000 is the limit. Technically, you can also buy $5,000 if you do it through your taxes. Like when you're filing your taxes for the year, if you decide to use part of that to purchase $5,000, you are able to do that by filling out an additional government form. And then you'll be able, or tax form, you'll be able to purchase 5,000. So 15,000 technically, but if you wanted to go in right now today and buy, you could buy 10,000. And then when you file your taxes, you could do another 5,000. And that is per person. You can also purchase for your company, an LLC, a friend, a family member. So that you do have the ability to do that as well.
Actually, so let's jump into that. We have a couple Patreon questions. These are supporters of the show. JT first asks, can you speak around getting around that $10,000 limit by gifting I-bonds to family members? Does it have to be a spouse and a child, or, you know, can that be anyone?
It can be anyone as long as they have an account with the Treasury Direct and you know their social security number. So you would purchase it on their behalf, and then you would purchase it in your account, but then you would transfer it. So you would have to know their account number and their social security number so that you could transfer it over to them. And that's how you could gift it to anybody.
Okay. And we have another one by Jess Holmes. This sounds a little bit more complicated. What is the best way to actually buy these? He's saying that the website is a super hassle use. It looks like it hasn't been updated in forever. Are there any, you know, other ways to do this? Is that site can be updated anytime soon? Well, why is it so bad?
There aren't any other ways to do it. Unfortunately, you do have to go through the Treasury Direct site. You can't do this through a brokerage firm or through your investment account or a bank or anything. You do have to purchase it through them. And I would say, like anything with the government related stuff, it's just a process. It's going to take more time. So don't wait till the last second to request money if you're trying to sell it, or put money in if you're trying to get in, because unfortunately we just have to deal with the site as is. So it can be cumbersome to use the site, but it is what it is.
Okay. Definitely makes sense. And let's say someone bought some, you know, now, you know, let's say it's the end of October or November. Does that mean they can buy more on January 1st, or do they have to wait till next November?
They can buy more January 1st. So it is calendar years. Every year you're allowed to buy more. So you could buy some in December, and then you could buy 10,000 in December and 10,000 in January.
Okay. And at first you did mention a potential workaround of buying more through an LLC. Is that another $10,000 cap, or, you know, what if I have, you know, 3, 4, 5 LLCs under my possession? Can I potentially end up buying 50,000?
Yeah, you can, as long as you can show the government, if they were to call you out and do an audit or something, as long as you can show them the different LLCs, then you'll be fine.
Okay, that makes sense. Can I ask, do you personally invest in I-bonds, or why or why not?
I do not, because I'm not worried about the stock market, and I think I will. I believe that I'm going to get more from the stock market than this, even the 9.62%, especially now with the market being down 20-some%. I just don't see the need to put money in personally, because I am a long-term investor and I am aware of the risks. And even if the market drops another 20% from here, historically, it has always bounced back above and beyond its highs. So that means to me, if we're down 20%, then if I put money in right now, which, you know, if I do that, then it's likely to have a 20% return. It could take more than a year. We don't really know how long it's going to take to bounce back. But since I am a long-term investor, I do believe it will bounce back. So I wouldn't put money into I-bonds personally. But it's not saying that it's not right for certain people, those short-term investors, people that know that they don't want to take the risk. Because if you're too nervous, you know, a lot of people are really, really fearful with the stock market, and it makes sense. It takes a lot to save up some money. So if you're nervous and you're just like, makes you sick to your stomach to think about investing in the stock market, iBonds can be a great way to kind of dip your toe into investing in general. And then as you get more comfortable with it, then you could maybe start investing in the stock market. But
that definitely makes sense. You know, I remember there was always a rule of, you know, investing a certain amount into bonds, the rest into stocks. You know, if I'm 40 years old, I should have 40% in bonds, 60% in stocks. I feel like for the last 5 or 10 years, nobody has even talked about bonds. Do you think that was because just historically the interest was so low that it just almost didn't matter?
Yeah, rates have been so low. So I personally, I find those models that show the 60-40 split and how adding in bonds will give you a higher return, that has used these rates that people used to get like 20 years ago, you know, 6%, something like that. No one's getting 6% on bonds anymore, except a little bit in iBonds, right? But it really depends, because even bonds right now are down about 10% from what I've seen. So you're still risking your money in normal, and we're talking normal bonds, not iBonds, but just like the normal bond market. It should be a safe place. And yes, it's safer than the stock market, but you could still lose money with bonds. So it's one of those things you have to be aware of that as well. And there's a caveat, right? If you hold individual bonds versus bond funds and hold it till maturity, you won't lose money, but you're just not going to make a lot of money. So it really depends on your goal to grow your money or kind of maintain it and get a little bit more than you would get from a bank account, like maybe a couple percent. But it's not a good way to make money. It's more a good way to kind of balance out some of the risk.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, a lot of people, you know, that are risk averse and hold their money in a bank account making, you know, 1% or less interest, they forget that mm-hmm. they're losing money due to inflation every year. So at mm-hmm. least this way covers your butt a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you've got an emergency fund, say you've got $30,000 and you want to put aside $10,000 in the, because it's not likely you're going to need all $30,000, even if there's an emergency, right? Ideally, that is spread out over several months or a year or so. And so you would probably be able to use the cash that you have and then keep a smaller portion, the $10,000, in the iBonds, where it's still safe, but you do have to make sure you don't need it for a year. So if you've got some cash to cover you, and then you could put that aside, it could be a part of your emergency fund. It could be, you know, if you're saving for a wedding or a baby or school or something like that, retirement, you know, that could be a great way to add in that little bit of extra return. That you definitely wouldn't get from your bank.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, if my bank was paying me 9.62% or even 6%, I'd be ecstatic, but that's not happening.
Yes.
Speaking of which, if someone isn't from the US, can they still purchase these bonds?
From what I've seen, you do have to be a US citizen to purchase the bonds, because you do need a social security number or the tax ID number. So you do have to be a citizen.
Okay. That makes sense. So Christopher asks, can you explain how the iBond rate is actually calculated? Is it from the CPI, the Computer Consumer Price Index, or core CPI, or something else?
It is from the CPI. I'm not an expert on them, but I do know it is calculated from the CPI. So that changes every 6 months. They look at it and decide, or like find out what the rate is. And then the rate on the iBonds are adjusted based on the CPI. So that's why it's an annual rate, but then you have to cut it in half because it is only guaranteed for 6 months.
Okay. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, it's almost crazy where I literally had never even heard anyone mention I-bonds for the entire 5 or 6 years we've been doing this podcast, and not for the years before that when I was investing personally myself. Is this something that has gotten popular with your clients recently that they started bringing up, or has this always been popular?
So I hadn't even heard of them other than from when I studied about them, getting my designations and licenses and stuff. So it just wasn't on the radar because it's linked to inflation. So when inflation's 3%, no one's really talking about I-bonds or interested in them because they're just not paying that much. Even though they might be paying as much as a normal bond, there's like the hassles of buying them and all of that, that, you know, it just really hasn't been on the radar. But now with the rates with them skyrocketing, they have really been interesting, right? And exciting also because the historical return of the stock market is an average of 10% for the last 100 years. That's what the market has returned on average. So now we're getting to a point, or we did, where we almost have that at a guaranteed rate from these I-bonds. And it's like something we've never seen really before. So it is something that's come on the radar. I hadn't heard about it from my clients or anything. I just found out about them in my YouTube research when I was trying to decide what videos to make. And then I learned, that's how I saw the rate even. So it's something that I think a lot of people don't even know about unless they come across it on YouTube or something, like maybe now with the media talking about it and that more. But like even 6 months ago, it was just starting to become something that's known, even to myself, to talk to my clients and viewers about it, because it's a great opportunity for a little window of time at least.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I'm taking a look at your YouTube channel now. That video came out 3 months ago. The big thumbnail says 9.62% guaranteed, no risk. Are I-bonds a good investment right now? And it looks like it's one of your most popular videos by far. Do you think the majority of people who saw that thumbnail were thinking, this sounds too good to be true? What is this I-bond thing? Is this a, it almost sounds like iRobot, something from the future?
Yeah. I mean, that's even what I thought when I went to the website. I was like, this looks, even the website looks scammy. It's just like, is this really real? Because it does sound too good to be true. And we know if anything sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But then you look at the logic, you learn about what I-bonds are. They're designed to help individuals keep up with inflation, and inflation is high. So it makes sense. And that's why there's a limit, I'm sure, because the US government is not trying to pay out a huge amount to everybody, especially if you have like millions of dollars. I could see them not wanting to just pay this huge rate to people that have huge amounts of money, but rather somebody that's just trying to gain a little bit of extra, help ease the burden of inflation a little bit. And it seems too good to be true. And that's why I did the thumbnail like that, because it is intriguing. It's like, oh, what is this? And it's not too good to be true. It is actually true right now.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And it almost kind of sounds like a way for the government to help out people who might just have, $10,000 in savings. They're so worried that money isn't getting eaten up by inflation. It's almost kind of like a nice thing for them to do, for people, I would say for the majority of Americans who probably have about $10,000 or less in total savings.
Yeah, it definitely is a way, because if you let that 10 grand sit in the bank, next year it's going to be worth 9,100 or something. And if you put it in these investments, it'll be worth 1,100 or a little less than that, 11,000, because you would probably, well, I actually did the math in my YouTube video where I ran the numbers, and you make between like $600 and $900 depending on the next 6 months, right? We only are guaranteed for 6 months But right now, in this little window of time, we do know that there's 9.62 for the first 6 months and then 6.48 for the next 6 months. So there's a little window of time where you do know the 12 months that you're going to get. And it's like right before they actually announce it.
Yeah. And if inflation magically drops to 0%, you know, at the end of the next the next cycle, you still had that whole year. And really, it would only be a pretty small penalty. And I don't want to call it a penalty. I think a penalty, like a traditionally an early withdrawal penalty, sounds like they're taking money out of your pocket. But right, in this case, it just means you get a little bit less interest than you would have normally. You get maybe about 75% of the interest. So instead of getting an average of 7 or 8%, now you're getting an average of 6%, which is still not bad.
Yeah, that's how you have to look at it overall. You're still getting that money. And like you said, it's not a penalty in the sense that you're going to be, you're going to lose money. You're just not making as much. And they can never go below zero, even if inflation, like we go to deflationary times or there's negative rate, like you're not going to go to negative. It can never be lower than zero. So you will not lose your principal, principal of how much you invest.
Okay. So we won't hold you to this because I'm sure you don't have a crystal ball, but do you think 1 year from today, the interest is going to settle back, inflation is going to settle back down to the 2 or 3% range, or do you think it's still going to be, you know, above 6% like we've had recently? So October 2023.
I think it'll still be probably higher than normal, but I do think it'll start to trend downwards, especially since the Fed is working so hard at increasing rates to decrease or increase interest rates to decrease inflation, since they're actively working on that. I do think that rates are going to come down. Will it be back to normal? I don't think likely. Stuff doesn't tend to happen or move that quickly, but who knows?
Okay. We might have you back on 1 year from today. I think it'll be a, a fun recap of exactly what happened.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what the stock market's going to be a year from now. Like, I would love for it to have fully rebounded, but at the same time, it creates buying opportunities right now when the market is lower. But it's going to be pretty interesting to see just what happens to the markets in general.
Yeah. So with your clients, do you feel like they're fearful now, you know, where they're thinking the stock market's going to crash, it's never going to recover, the U.S. Economy is going to be, we're no longer going to be a powerhouse anymore? Or do people feel pretty safe still?
I think there is a lot of fear. People are not wanting to invest when in times like this. It's totally opposite of what should be happening. People are so fearful when the market's down. No one wants to invest. People that know want to invest, right? But if you don't know and you're uncertain, which I would say the majority of people are really uncomfortable and unsure of investing because we just haven't had proper education on it. People just don't really know. And it's been inaccessible to the average person for a really long time. It's not until just more recently that investment firms have reduced minimums. They've taken away a lot of the fees. They've introduced robo-advisors, all of these things that are making investing more accessible, thankfully. But in the past, you had to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to even work with a financial advisor. And I mean, it's still like that in the regular financial advising world. But this is a way to kind of make it more accessible to everybody. So with investing being more accessible to everybody, the average person still doesn't have that investing knowledge. So they are fearful of what's going on. And just, I think anyone's fearful to lose money that they've worked really hard for to save up in the first place. But if you can start to think of it as an opportunity, as hard as it is, that will be what gets you to grow your money, because you're buying in at a 20-ish percent discount from just January of this year, you know, earlier in 2022. And so even though it feels uncomfortable, even though you're nervous, it goes against everything, because it's easy to buy when the market's going up. Everyone wants to jump in and be part of the exciting times when the market's going up. And when the market goes down, what people think is, I will wait until it drops further and then buy, or I'll wait until things settle down. I hear that all the time. I'll wait till things settle down. That doesn't happen. We're not going to know. You're not going to know until the opportunity's gone. Because we just look at 2020, when the market dropped, in the start of the pandemic in March of 2020, that recovery, that dropped about 37%, the S&P 500. And then 3 months later, it was completely back. So if you are listening and thinking you're going to buy when it's down further or wait till things settle down, ask yourself what you did in March of 2020. Because if you miss that drop, you're likely to miss it again, just like anybody is. Like, even, you know, we just don't know when the market's going to turn around. So it's really important to educate yourself on the fears of investing. There's an emotional roller coaster chart. So I would encourage you to look at the emotional roller coaster chart. To get back to this original question you asked about, are people fearful? Yes. And it's something everyone goes through because of the emotions within us. So if you look up emotional roller coaster, investing roller coaster, something like that, you'll see that this is a typical cycle everybody will go through. And that will help you just counteract that and just go ahead and start investing on a regular schedule, regardless of what the market's doing. And that's where you'll find that longer term success.
That's great advice, Maggie. Thank you so much for coming on, talking about iBonds. If somebody wants to work with you or learn more, how can they find you?
Moneywithmaggie.com is my website, and I'm Money with Maggie on Instagram and YouTube and all of the places. So I would love to just hear from more people, and yeah, that's where you can find me.
I love it. And any kind of net worth requirements or anything?
No, I'm really trying to make investing more accessible to everyone. So I do charge an hourly rate, but you don't have to have any, like, you could be in debt and I could help you with your situation. So I work with people to help them just get better financially. It is an investment to work with me one-on-one, but I do have an investing course as well. And I also have free advice on my YouTube channel that anyone could access. I've got over 150 videos there. So it's a great place if you're on a really tight budget and you just aren't ready to make an investment with working one-on-one with me or anybody. YouTube's a great resource. And then I do work out like one-on-one with people if they do want more of that individualized guidance.
All right. Well, thank you so much again. That's Maggie Gomez with Money with Maggie.
Thanks, Johnny.
Great interview, Johnny. Appreciate you handling the interview with Maggie. I learned a lot about iBonds over the last few months when all these bosses have been shouting at me, get someone on about iBonds. I learned a little bit more today. I do like the concept, but I want to know, Johnny, did you ever hear the term iBond until, I don't know, 9 months ago?
No, like, I think nobody cared because inflation was so low that it just almost didn't make sense.
Totally agree. And I thought it was like those, well, I guess it is. Did you have a kid? Did your parents ever have like those paper savings bonds? Do you remember those things?
Yeah. Those are like US Treasury bonds. I don't know if those are actually iBonds, but and just honestly, bonds in general just have not been interesting for the last 10 years because interest has been so low.
Yeah. And I gotta think this is just kind of a little bit of a fad that's people, had it been like the limits have been higher, like let's say you could get $100,000 worth, I think some people would really be regretting it. Because Maggie brought up a great point that if you're really a long-term investor and you know how the stock market works, you know it's going to come back. And we're down 20%+ as we record this right now. So if you got to hold it for a year anyways before you can even cash it out, why not put that 10 grand into an index fund?
Yeah, you know, I was taking a look at VTI, which is one of my favorite index funds, just the total US stock market, and it's been up 4% in the last 2 days. So it's moving in the right direction. Maybe it might crash again further, but I'm going to bet that within the 5 years that I would be holding this iBond for, I'm probably going to make more than whatever the inflation adjusted percentage is.
Yeah, and the 9.62% sounds great right now, and it's going down to 6.5%, which is still pretty good. But as inflation calms down, which the Fed is aggressively going after by raising the interest rates in, you know, 0.5, 0.75 at a clip, it's going to drop. So they're really trying to get after it and go after it really fast. So even though it's going down to 6, which still sounds pretty good, I got to think if inflation calms down, you know, if we're going to go back down to the 2% and 3%, and you're stuck with that bond unless you pay that penalty back.
You know, I'm very curious if other countries have an iBond, because I'm taking a look at inflation rates worldwide, and there's some countries that are just insane, even compared to our 9%. You know, you want to try to guess which countries have the highest interest rates?
Oh, like, I'm going to say like South America, somewhere down there.
Yep. So we have a few places. I think Venezuela is the highest in South America.
Yeah, we were just talking about their McDonald's prices. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. So I just took a look. The latest reference we have is for August 2022, and it's 114%.
No
so
way.
Woo. Yeah.
I'll take that money return.
Yeah. And so compared to the US, I mean, there's a lot of countries that have much higher inflation than the US. And I feel like some of those countries are probably even trying to pad it or you know, make it seem less bad. So it could be worse.
Well, that's another point I wanted to bring up too, because a lot of people have speculated that the CPI is inaccurate. It's actually pretty low. They're saying, you know, as of the last one, it was 9-some percent, and now it's going down to 6-7. And everyone's saying that feels low. I don't know, because Johnny, you're bouncing around all over the place, and you're not in the US very often. I'm going to say that it does feel low, honestly, because if you look at like major purchases, especially the way that housing really ramped up, it's definitely higher than 10%. And then if you see other things creeping up, you know, food, gas, whatever it may be, the 10% number feels low. And it's almost like the government is trying not to scare everyone, and they're padding those numbers a little bit.
I feel like we could do a whole episode about this.
now we're getting into the conspiracies.
But yeah, well, you know, I think it's about right. I think the CPI actually. So let's have this be an entire episode, because there's a lot we can dig into on the weeds, because it is a very interesting topic right now. But as far as the US concerned and right now, would you buy these iBonds and lock in this, you know, 6 or 9%?
I've been thinking about it so long, because like I said, everybody's been talking about it in the Boss Lounge and on Patreon, that I was like, you know what, why don't I just buy some of these? And now we're coming up on the deadline, and I find myself pretty cash strapped right now. I mean, I could buy some, and I don't know. Maggie kind of resonated with me when she said it's a lot better deal just to jump in the stock market as it is right now. Knowing that you're going to hold it for a year anyways, I believe that within a year we can sort our things out. And even if we don't, I'm not going to need to touch that for a year anyways. And I just know that this rate is going to go lower and lower every 6 months. So I'm going to pass. I would for myself personally, rather just stick that money into a solid index fund.
Yeah. I think that putting money into an actual stock investment, is going to be a better investment, but I'm very tempted to put 10 grand in. That would normally be part of my emergency fund in there, because that's money I wouldn't be touching the next year anyways. So what I'm going to do after this episode is I'm going to go to treasurydirect.gov, and I'm going to see how much of a pain in the ass it is to actually invest in it. Because if it's a lot of work, I don't know if it's going to be worth it, you know, especially to pull out at the end of the year too, because in reality, a year from now, I'll probably take this money out, especially if the interest continues dropping, which it probably will. And I don't know if it would be worth the hassle of, you know, setting up the account, buying the I bonds, and then cashing out, especially early, just to make, you know, 6% interest. But I'm gonna give it a shot. If I can do this in 10 minutes or less, I'll go ahead and put 10K in, and I'll update everyone in the Patreon if I do.
I got $100 that you can't do this in 10 minutes. That's another reason too. The government is the government. You know, there's no competition. They do what they want, and it's usually horribly inefficient. So that makes me skeptical too. Did you actually look at the website, Johnny? Go there, and it looks a little like someone slapped it together, and it's like a scam almost.
It looks like someone slapped this together in Microsoft Word 95.
Yeah, there's no logo. It's just like, is this the right site?
Yeah, and you know, the funniest thing is this color scheme. It's it's like this cream white background that is reminiscent of Windows 95, and they chose this green, blue, and orange as
it's probably like straight out of CNBC from like 1994 or something.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm willing to bet this was made in the 90s and just hasn't been changed since. So yeah, we'll see how this works out. I would be excited to just play around with it. So I'll give it a fair shot after this, and I'll even time myself to tell you how long it takes.
And we should address that too, because there was a Patreon question that I don't think you're able to get to. Someone did ask, you know, when are they updating the site? And they had some kind of paper filing thing they had to do, and I did find an article that said the government is aware of this and they are working on it, whatever that means, to update the site. But they said the site, I think, was done in 2002, so it's 20 years old.
Wow, that is crazy. But you know what, I think the government's, you know, motto is if it ain't broke, or ain't too broken, don't fix it.
just on the edge of catastrophe, just keep it there.
Yeah, I like it.
One other hack I want to get to too, though. If you aren't aware, there is a way that you can take your, you know, you got to hold it for 1 year. There is a way to get that down to 11 months if you want to shave 1 month off it. And this is good timing too, if you're buying it right when you hear this episode. If you buy the bond at the end of the month, let's say December 31st. If you get it in and the transaction clears by then, you'll actually earn the full month's interest for December, as long as you bought it anytime within that month. Whether you bought it on the 1st or the 31st, you'll get that full month's interest, and it'll count as a 1 month hold. So that way, in 11 months from that day, 11 months in one day, you could technically sell it and you wouldn't have to wait the full 12 months. It's a tiny, tiny hack, I guess.
That is a good hack. And we're lucky that it's the end of October right now. So if I can get it through, I'll be excited to have my new 10K shiny investment with the US Treasury.
I am interested to see how that works out. If you get it to go through, you got to post it in Patreon, Johnny.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'll post either way. So we'll see. But yeah, I was super happy that we had Maggie on, and it was an interesting topic. I think this is something that a lot of people have been kind of waiting for, because I think the worst thing to do is just to sit on your money and let it, you know, literally rot away in your account, you know, losing money to inflation. So if you're not going to do anything with it, you know, at least do this.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks to Maggie for coming on. She also has a lot of other great content. We'll put the links to find out about her in the show notes. I want to touch on reviews. We had some new reviews come in. This really helps the show grow, you guys, so we can get more great guests on. Spotify has been crushing it. Lots of reviews on there. Unfortunately, you can't leave a written review on there, but if you just give us 5 stars, it's much appreciated. I know a lot of people have been jumping over there because Apple Podcasts has been a little bit buggy lately. I think they're actually working on a new version of that too, maybe being run by the government as well. But Paige B left us a review, said 5 stars, great show. Every show and every topic is fascinating. These hosts are all really engaging and unique in their own way and bring a wealth of information to the table. Highly recommend. Thanks for that review, Paige. And like I said, if you guys leave us a review, we'll try to read it on the show. Even if it's not a 5-star, we'll read the bad ones too.
Oh, let's not encourage anyone. If you have any you know, tips you want to tell us, you know, you can send us an email. But
there you go.
Derek at Invest Like a Boss. But yeah, thanks again to Maggie Gomez for coming on. Her website is moneywithmaggie.com. She even has a course for beginner investors. I took a look at it and it's really well made, super well filmed, professionally filmed. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Derek, glad you are back. Welcome and guten Nacht. Prost.
Auf Wiedersehen, Johnny. Make sure to set a timer on these I-bonds. We want to know exactly how long it takes for you to do it. I will talk to you next week when you're probably still trying to buy them.
Dankeschön. Tschüss.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.